America, welcome yet once again to yet another edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host, Brandon Perkins. Joining us as always is Chris Logie and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, folks.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, folks.
Yeah. This episode is going to be for January 15, 2022. Yeah, I don't know where you are, but it's cold where I am. which is not to be expected, but apparently, according to the weather, it's possible we might end up seeing some snow next week.
Ooh.
Which, on the one hand, is kind of exciting, and on the other hand, absolutely terrifying, because nobody knows how to act when it snows down here.
You got your cross-country skis?
And your bread and your milk?
Yeah, we do. my dad has snow chains on his truck, so if worse comes to worse, we can actually go out and do stuff. But anyway, yeah. We actually have kind of a full house now this time. Teresa is now back with us, and she has some stories to tell, I am sure.
My. Yeah, a few.
We'll be getting to all that, but before that, well, what are we going to do this week? Well, Pharma Douche is going to have to pay out the ass. That's a good story right there. OAN, that's One American News Network. They are getting dropped by one major provider, and honestly, I'm surprised it took them this long. We got a celebrity death that kind of surprised basically everybody. Literally shot just about everyone. The Republican National Committee is threatening to bar candidates from participating in presidential debates. We'll be talking about that. The FDA has dropped its regulation of French dressing. I know that sounds like stoned ad libs, but trust me, there is a story behind it. And of course, we got a bunch of entertainment news, including a trailer for that gritty rebooted version of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which actually looks pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. And, of course, the usual shenanigans as well. And, of course, we got yet another COVID-19 dump truck to talk about. But before we do all of that, let's talk about what we have been doing in the meantime between shows. So, Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Yeah, so for the last week or so, I've been dealing with a nasty cold.
Yeah.
If you listened to either the podcast from last weekend and heard me getting hoarse by the end of the show.
Yeah, now we know why.
Great time to get sick, especially with something like a cold that has like 90% of the symptoms of COVID.
Yeah.
And having no access to an at-home test and running out of cold medicine at the right time to deal with it. So luckily I managed to get some after work on Sunday. Took it, and my sore throat immediately started feeling better. So that was great, but managed to get a test for at home Tuesday morning. So I ended up calling off on Monday because I just did not feel good at all. But yeah, most part, just been dealing with a lot of coughing, runny nose stuff, that kind of stuff for the most part. Luckily, it hasn't been too bad other than that, but yeah, finally getting over it this weekend here. So that should be done by Monday, hopefully. But yeah, that's been a fun time. Especially having it affect my dreams.
Yeah, that's a fun part.
Where it's like, oh, I'm worried about actually having COVID and wondering the whole process of going to work and getting all that sorted out. Even though I don't know if I have it or not. All that kind of shit. So that's kind of what my dreams are mostly about. Which was fun. But then I got the test and that came back negative. So luckily that's a relief. Just regular sick. Doing all the fun of that. Where I'm like, should I just take this DayQuil and just stick it in my car? So I can just chug it when I need it, which I didn't do, but oh well, that was fine. Yeah, been having less and less issues with runny noses and shit, so
mm-hmm.
almost done with that. But yeah, as for watching stuff, while I was trying to get rid of the sick, I finished up The Witcher Season 2,
mm-hmm.
Which was quite good.
Compared to the first season, what do you think?
I barely remember much of what was in Season 1, but...
I don't blame you.
They set it off for a good Season 3,
mm-hmm.
I think, as they kind of continue to deal with Ciri and all mm-hmm. the things that go with that. So that's kind of the big thing there, as well as a bit more about the whole Wild Hunt thing that is going on. But yeah, they seem to realize that there's some big shit going on, and of course there's all the political stuff as the various sort of groups are potentially going to be going to war again, like they did at the end of Season 1. So there's all that. Also been watching Peacemaker,
mm-hmm.
The HBO Max season that's a follow-up to the Suicide Squad movie.
Yep.
That features, you know, the titular Peacemaker as well as some of the crew from Waller's team.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that is a weird-ass show.
Mm-hmm.
The style of it's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because they constantly are playing 80s-esque rock
mm-hmm.
throughout the show. Now, I'm not sure if the mix is too loud or not when they do it.
Mm.
So it feels like it overtakes everything.
Mm.
But like the third episode also ends with a very weird song that I actually know. It is Push Push by Bang Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
A rock band song.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I know that, because they are tangentially related to Harmonix.
Mm-hmm.
People that worked at Harmonix worked on that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why the fuck is this in this show? It's a big-time HBO Max show. But it's partially because they're playing a lot of 80s-esque rock music, because Peacemaker is a very toxic masculinity guy.
Yeah.
And he's literally complaining about how this music that he's about to play was made for guys when guys could be guys and not be, you know, whatever.
Mm.
And it's literally a song about crying and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. It's like, okay. It's just weird as hell. But still got all the kind of very violent action stuff
mm-hmm.
from the Suicide Squad. A lot of that kind of fun stuff there. And yeah, you kind of learn more about Peacemaker and all his shits, and his dad is played by Robert Patrick, who has his own thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
That is weird and all that. But yeah, that's it's a fun little show. They got 3 episodes out for the first week. I think 1 episode every week after that, starting on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Kind of just been watching a lot of bullshit as well. Went through all 4 of the Toy Story movies.
Oh.
I was like, I wanted to see if Toy Story and Toy Story 2 still hold up, since those are very old at this point, almost 20 years old.
Yeah, they are.
And that first one definitely fits the plasticky toy vibe.
Yeah.
The humans, not so much.
No. The humans are a little on the uncanny valley side, I will admit that much.
Yeah, and they have a very specific like art style to them.
Mm-hmm.
So their faces are a little bit weirdly shaped.
Yeah.
More accentuated, like cheeks and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they still hold up for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, those were all fun. I hadn't seen the 4th one, so Keanu Reeves' toy is pretty...
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool and weird for its whole setup for it as a kind of Evel Knievel style toy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are fun. Let's see. Been playing some games. Been playing some Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I am in, I think, about chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, dealing with the retirement home stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where I thought the retirement home itself would be the dungeon, the way they set it up.
Mm.
If you don't know, this is the game that's very much a JRPG and set in the world of Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the dungeon's a building after that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
You basically have like two fights in this retirement home, and it's like, oh, you know, we're gonna tattle on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through a whole other dungeon. There's not really much fighting in these dungeons. It's maybe like a half dozen fights. It's not like a JRPG dungeon.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of an endurance test. But yeah, that's that game's still a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Still enjoying that. Hoping to put more time into that here. I've also been playing some Jurassic World Evolution. I got that during the Steam Winter Sale.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting to check that out. And that is a fun game. It's basically a tycoon game, but set on the Jurassic world and park islands.
Mm-hmm.
Like they call it the Five Deaths, or Five Islands. And yeah, that's it's a bit weird how hand-holdy it is at times. Mm-hmm. Especially giving me tasks that I need to get to. Gonna have to do well enough on the first island with the park that you're setting up to open up the next island and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I got a mission that's to get a specific type of fossil. This is the one way to build up the DNA of sorts for the dinosaurs you are sort of bringing to life, is that you sort of extract the DNA out of fossils you send a team out to collect. And as you get more and more fossils, you're kind of building up a more perfect DNA profile for the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
That just makes them better and more sustainable. So that's kind of the nice thing there. Though I ended up, found it kind of weird that they were giving you like one pen for all these dinosaurs, plant and carnivores, and I was kind of concerned about whether that would actually the first carnivore I had. I was like, should I have it in the same pen as all these others?
Mm.
So I ended up making a separate one for it, and it's just kind of hanging out by itself there. But yeah, it's pretty good for what it is. I'm looking forward to put some more time into it, but it's a very time sink kind of game.
Mm.
As you're kind of just waiting for more money to come in and such, and waiting for various bars to fill up as you send out teams to collect fossils and do research and all this other kind of stuff. So that's largely been it. How about you, Teresa?
I have been playing copious amounts of Civ 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly been a while since I've played, because I'm having to play on Warlord, which is pretty bad. But I just downloaded Rise and Fall today, so I was trying that out. And pretty cool. I'm going to be having some fun with that. It's a 3-day weekend, so why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching, we rewatched The Hobbit, and that took us 3 nights to watch, but it was definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. So we'll be doing The Lord of the Rings extended trilogy pretty soon. Not right away. We haven't finished The Expanse. We didn't watch the episode that dropped, I think, Friday. Was that just yesterday? Oh, God. Time's been like that lately.
Yeah.
So I cannot, at this point, I know everybody else has probably finished it up, but I cannot believe that there's only one episode to wrap up all this shit, because it seems impossible. But I will watch it sooner rather than later and find out how very possible it is, and see if I'm satisfied with how the whole story ends and everything.
Mm.
And then I've been watching The Book of Boba Fett, which is awesome. We aren't quite caught up yet, but we're pretty close.
Hmm.
Star Trek Prodigy, we've been watching that. And like that, those episodes are longer than they have any right being, but they're okay.
Hmm.
So I don't know if any of you guys are going to watch it. It's kind of a little bit out there for Star Trek. It's not Star Trek, but it is Star Trek.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's a bunch of people who escape from a prison planet and steal a starship that was hidden there that shouldn't have been there. And Captain Janeway is the Hollow computer assistant. So yeah, it's really weird, but an interesting and kind of fresh take on it, and yeah, I'm cool with that. And then I was gone for a while.
Yeah, tell us why.
So that tornado that went through Kentucky, that seems like ancient history now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went right through the town where my family lives. So my uncle lives in town, and he was without power and water. They got the water restored first, which was amazing, because their 500,000 gallon water tower was twisted metal on the ground. I mean, that tornado just took that thing out. It was just fucking gone. And it looked like little itty bitty bits of confetti on the ground until like you tried to get a scale of the picture, because they wouldn't let you near it to go look at it. Because it also took out the fire station that was not underneath of it, but pretty much underneath of it. So yay, tornado takes out a fire station in the town. Took out the jail, took out the courthouse, took out just so much of the old part of the town. Now the newer commercial part where, you know, Walmart and everything else is, Lowe's and all that, that was okay. But the whole downtown area was just fucked. There's no other way to put it. So I had to go down there and get my uncle because, you know, he's special needs, very special needs. And, you know, while he lives on his own, it's only because I'm in constant contact with him. And there was no phone. And that was a problem. So my brother went out there after, and it took him like, it's 10 minutes to get into town. It took him over an hour because he had to try a bunch of different routes. And he finally figured out, okay, if I go way over here to the south, the tornado wasn't up over there. It was just up north. And he was finally able to get into town. And Jimmy's like, what are you doing? It was just kind of an unusual reaction to it. But he heard it. He said it was like a freight train, the typical everything. Everybody freaked out. It got way closer to my mom and my brother's house than anybody's. My in-laws were freaked out too, and they actually got their power back within a day because they're a little closer to the Tennessee border. So they were on a whole different circuit, but like a complete nightmare. And they're dozing a lot of the shit. Like that courthouse has been there since what, the 1860s or something. And it's where I went to get my driver's license. It's where I went to get my marriage license. I mean, it was like, it was the courthouse. It's where I went to get custody of my uncle. I still go there and, turn in my reports to the judge and whatnot. And I still call them all the time to get them to renew my uncle's license and pay for it and all that shit so he could still drive around and renew his tags. And I mean, you're always there. That's where you go. I pay my mom's property taxes there via my brother because I don't actually go down there to do that. But it's weird that so much is gone. But I really hope that they get to rebuild it and do it better. But they're putting it on the same damn plot of land. They're like, it's the county seat. We're going to keep it here. But the parking is atrocious. I mean, everything about it. But so that's the whole thing there. They're dozing everything now. It's going to take a long time for all that to get back together. But they figured out the water. They figured out the electricity. So Uncle Jimmy stayed here for about a week, something like that, which we could do a whole podcast about that, but we're not going to. I didn't kill anybody, and that's as far as we're going to go with that. Only so many times someone can tell me how to drive when I've been driving for fucking 30 years before I... well, clearly you could tell. But we did all that and got that taken care of. And then we were supposed to go out to LA. We had a friend who was going to get us into Universal Studios for free. And we had tickets for Disneyland. I've never been to Disney anything. So I was kind of excited about that. And we had a hotel, a vintage hotel. It used to actually be called the Hotel California. It's like a block from the beach on Santa Monica. Had like this great, great, wonderful New Year's vacation lined up. I got sick. So, and we tested like a bunch of times. And I did 4 rapid tests and 1 PCR test. They all came back negative. So I guess it was just a stomach bug that actually had some respiratory symptoms as well. So it was weird, kind of knocked me flat on my ass. I missed like a whole week of work. I didn't even bother going in, even though I wasn't going to, because I wasn't going to California, but you know, I still just didn't feel good. So I stuck around home and avoided everybody because we had been out for Christmas. You know, we had been down to Kentucky dropping Uncle Jimmy off. We went to my cousin's for Christmas Eve. We went to my aunt's for Christmas Day. I went and visited 2 different friends. It's like the most I've done since COVID happened. And I mean, if I had gotten it, I guess I probably, I knew what I was doing. Let's just put it that way. So, but yeah, back to work. Everything's kind of back to normal for the most part, I think. Just, I can't like order pizzas from my uncle because there's only 1 pizza joint open and they don't deliver. So there's still a bunch of weirdness, but yeah, I'm just trying to get my head back on and get back in the game and play a lot of Civ. So that was long-winded, but that's what I've been up to for like a month.
Yeah. Well,
what about you?
Yeah. Well, as for me, I got an Xbox Series S, which nice. we were talking about before we started show. And yeah, Dan Reb basically told me, he's like, you know, I say, he's like, okay, I got an Xbox Series S. What should I do? And he said, Game Pass. That's it. And so I got Game Pass, which is, you know, not really terribly expensive monthly subscription, especially right now because they're doing like where you can get like a trial subscription for like $1. But yeah, it's really amazing how much stuff they've got on Game Pass, including the entirety of Halo Infinite. The whole game is on Game Pass that you can get on at any time. And also, I've been playing... So, you know, on top of Halo Infinite, I've also been playing Hades. I've been playing The Outer Wilds. I've downloaded the first 2 Dead Space games. And I've got some other stuff on there, too. I've got about 7 games in total downloaded that I'm getting ready to go on. But, yeah, it's... God, it's like night and day. When you... Especially, like, just... Okay, so I don't have, like, a big 4K TV. All right, I have an HD TV, but it's a small one. Just for, you know, my room, my bedroom. And, you know, up until this point, pretty much the entirety of my gaming has been either, you know, Nintendo Switch, which, you know, is good for the stuff that is good on it, including Metroid Dread. And I've been having the PS4. That's been the majority of my gaming for the last few years. And let me tell you, when you download Halo Infinite, both the campaign and multiplayer on the Xbox Series S, because the Xbox Series S, remember, it's a digital-only console.
Yeah.
It's the slim white model, rather than the giant refrigerator that the Series X is. The whole downloading time only took me like half an hour. Whereas if I was doing it on like the PS4, it'd take me like 3 to 4 hours total. And like the other stuff I downloaded took very little time to happen. It's amazing how quickly that stuff downloads on that console. Also, you know, the current gen games on there look just amazing. Halo Infinite looks absolutely gorgeous.
It's a snappy ass system, and of all the current gen, absolutely the Xbox is my fave.
Yeah, well, pretty much it's the only one you can freaking get right now. But yeah, So yeah, but of all the games I've been playing on there, Hades is the one that's been taking up most of my time. And it mostly just has to do with the fact that, you know, the cycle that the game does, you know. It takes probably like the one part of any game that you hate the most, which is, you know, dying and having to go back to the beginning, and actually makes it something that you actually not necessarily want to go back to. But it makes it worthwhile because
yeah.
a good chunk of the game's story takes place in that beginning area, you know, in Hades' house. And, you know, also the game does a pretty good job of powering you up as you go along, giving you plenty of instances to power up rather than, you know, making you grind endlessly. So, yeah, it's just damn good all around. I'm very, very happy. And the good thing was, is I had a bunch of credit and some gift cards I was able to use. So I was able to get the cost down to under $250 when I bought it. So, you know, managed to save a pretty penny.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Other than that, my usual reading, I have been reading A Canticle for Leibowitz by Walter M. Miller Jr., which is one of those classic books that, you know, everybody tells you that you should read at some point. It's considered like a classic. It's heavily influential. If you're a fan of the Fallout books, it's one a fan of the Fallout games. It's one of those books you have to read because it was heavily inspirational on the overall Fallout lore. It's a damn good book.
Enjoying it then?
Oh yeah, no. No complaints here. Are you familiar with it?
No, just by name. Just okay, you know, it's the notoriety of it.
Okay, so basically the basic plot of A Canticle for Leibowitz is, so originally it was like, it's what they, in the industry, they call a fix-up. It was originally three separate novella-length stories that Miller sort of fused together and then, you know, added some additional polish to create a complete novel. But basically, the majority of the story takes place in and around a monastery that's in the southwest of what was once the former United States before what they call the Flame Deluge, which you can probably guess what that's supposed to be. And basically these monks are dedicated to basically doing like what monks used to do, you know, during the Middle Ages, which is, you know, finding and transcribing and storing away knowledge from the past so that, you know, when the day comes that they can, you know, the civilization can get to the point where it can start using it again. But in this case, this monastery is over an area that was originally based around this guy who he is a, like by the in the beginning of the book, he's not quite canonized as a saint yet, but they call him Saint Leibowitz, who was an engineer who at some point, you know, before World War III happened, he took up holy orders and started trying to keep track of all of his engineering knowledge, and then he ends up getting lynched by a bunch of I can't remember what they're in the books. They call them the simpletons. It's essentially, it's what they call the simplification after, you know, the absolute destruction that the nuclear missiles caused. All the important stuff either got burned for, you know, warmth or was just destroyed otherwise. And basically what happens is this, this young, novice who is sort of undergoing his week long, sort of, don't necessarily call it penance, but basically the sort of, you know, cleansing ceremony that he has to undergo where he's got to like fast and everything. He ends up stumbling upon a bomb shelter that Leibowitz was using, and he ends up like transcribing a bunch of stuff that he finds down there, including like a grocery list and blueprints, stuff like that. And the book kind of just goes on from there because, like, after that, then there's like, I think in the second one is where they've gotten sort of towards technologically wise, sort of back around to like Middle Ages type civilization where they're arguing about whether or not to canonize them. It's just a damn good book, and it's both really dark and really well written, and also surprisingly funny, sort of the same way the Fallout series is, because there's a lot of mistaken meanings behind certain things in the book. like, they don't know what a Fallout is. They think Fallout, you know, at first they imagine Fallout as being like a, you know, like a salamander that breathes fire or something, because they keep coming across these things that say Fallout shelter, don't enter.
Okay.
So they think Fallout is like some hideous creature that's locked away. And they think it may have had something to do with the Flame Deluge. They're not really sure.
Okay. Well, yeah. that would be amusing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Oh, I forgot to mention, I have been playing the new Mario Party.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's...
the
it's
quicker Mario Party Superstars?
Mm-hmm. And it's got, like, all the games from the old... the mini games from the old series, and
it's got all the mini games, and I think it's got also a lot of the boards too, doesn't it?
Yeah, some of the boards are reused, and I haven't played every Mario Party game, so I have played a hell of a lot of them though. So yeah, it's pretty neat, but it's kind of at the point where it's like after one round, you're done. Just one game, not two, because that is way too much for the night. So, you know, it's more fun when people come over and play with us, and that only happened once so far, because I mean, it just came out. So, yeah, it's there, it's pretty good, but I do like that the pacing is picked up in it, and you don't have to do that fucking high five, because that was just the shittiest thing ever. Why did they do that?
Yeah.
Because they could.
Awesome. All right. Well then, moving on from there, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, which is Brandon's Random Factoid. And, you know, being that, you know, a lot of us are Japanophiles of one degree or other, there are a few noted events and groups and things that have happened in Japan, especially in the 90s, that have had a massive impact on not just Japanese culture, but really Japanese pop culture as well. Because, let's face it, not a whole lot of really serious shit goes down in Japan. You know, it's usually either a natural disaster or maybe a Yakuza scandal at most. Nothing really major happens there. But then what happens when, say, in the mid-90s, a weird cult tries to pull a sarin gas attack in a subway? Yeah, that's going to affect the country where a whole lot of shit doesn't happen. So the group I'm talking about is one of those infamous cults that's like up there with like, you know, People's Temple, Heaven's Gate, the Branch Davidians. One of those groups that, you know, became infamous not necessarily just because of the bizarreness of their beliefs, but because of these horrific acts of violence that they inflict on people. And that's Aum Shinrikyo, basically. Aum Shinrikyo, first of all, here's something you probably didn't know. Aum Shinrikyo is actually still around. Believe it or not. They did split about 15 years ago into two different organizations called Aleph and Hikari no Wa, but they are largely still the same thing. So, Aum Shinrikyo, you're probably wondering, like, okay, how can a cult like get to the point where it amasses enough followers and money that it can pull off something like a massive sarin gas attack that can kill a bunch of people and injure several others? Well, here it goes. So, Aum Shinrikyo was started by a guy named Shoko Asahara. Shoko Asahara was a very odd-looking, long-haired, bearded gentleman who claimed that he had mastered the art of yoga. Because here's the thing you have to remember. Aum Shinrikyo originally started off as like a yoga group. And by yoga, I don't mean like your average like exercise yoga for your muscles. I mean like a seriously hardcore religious yoga group. Like, think like Transcendental Meditation or, you know, one of those groups where it's not just that they're doing yoga, it's that they're convinced that yoga can give them superpowers. Like that type of yoga group. And Shoga Asahara got to the point where he claimed to everyone, he's like, hey, I've been doing yoga so good now that I can levitate. Now, this sounds unbelievably stupid.
Yes.
But here's what he did. So I've watched like footage of people doing like transcendental meditation and stuff like that. And one of the things that they do is something called yogic flying, which is where you get into the lotus position, you know, the cross-legged, you know, meditation. And then you try to use your thigh and butt muscles to bounce up and down. And for the record, if you do this enough times, you can get some pretty good air. But he claimed that he could actually start flying. And he had people who would like take pictures of him when he was doing his, you know, his yogic flying thing. And they would catch him like right in the middle of when he's in the air. Now, obviously, the dude couldn't actually fly, but he was apparently so convincing with this bullshit that he managed to get thousands of followers. And it's at this point you realize, okay, so, all right, other than the yoga thing, what did this guy actually believe? Well, he had this really sort of eclectic mix of religious influences, a syncretic belief system, if you will. It was made up of elements of Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity. He, in fact, when he published his foundational book for the group, Shoko Asahara claimed that he Christ returned. Because at that point, why not?
Yep.
He claimed that he had come to Earth to take upon the sins of the world, and then he could in turn transfer spiritual powers to his followers. He also came with another thing, which is always popular with these types of groups, doomsday prophecy. He was convinced that a doomsday prophecy was coming, that he called a nuclear Armageddon, and that it was Shinrikyo's job to sort of help it along. Against them, who did they consider to be sort of their enemies? Well, they basically considered a sort of ragtag group of basically a bunch of groups. For them, there was a conspiracy where the Jews, the Freemasons, the Dutch, the British royal family, and rival Japanese religions were all secretly in conspiracy to prevent the apocalypse from happening and destroy Aum Shinrikyo and Shoko Asahara. Largely, he claimed they were doing this by getting Japanese people addicted to oily meats and junk food.
Yeah. Definitely a yoga cult.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, fun part about that last part. When they arrested Shoko Asahara, he had a bunch of fried prawns in his refrigerator. Yep. So, here's where it gets even funnier, because we're not getting quite yet to the gas attack yet. We'll get to that, but there was some other stuff that happened. Like, for example, amongst other things, Aum Shinrikyo managed to attract a lot of very... Now, you would think... Here's the thing. You would think with this type of bullshit that he's pinning that he must have got... All of his followers must have been just complete rubes, right? Not so. He got a lot of, like, hardcore like scientists and engineers as his followers, people who otherwise should have known better. And he also got a lot of media people involved too. In fact, here's probably one of the other part about Aum Shinrikyo that is amazing is, much like Scientology, they built up a really large media empire, all of whose purpose was to, you know, teach, you know, their Aum Shinrikyo's message to the world. And what did that include? Well, that included, this is a Japanese cult, so what better way to get people to know about your cult than an anime series? That's right. Aum Shinrikyo had a 32-episode anime series.
Oh my God.
Yes, I am not joking. Give me a moment. I need to look up the name because it escapes me. But yeah, it actually had it all, and it was an anime. It was in 1984. Let's see. It was called. Oh yeah. Have you ever heard one of those anime memes is what they call anime Jesus.
Yeah.
It's from this. Yeah, it's not Jesus that you're seeing. It's supposed to be Shoko Asahara. Yeah, so the anime was called Shōetsu Sekai, which translates to Transcendental World. And it was basically just sort of like an it was basically about like Shoko Asahara sort of flying around in his yoga pants, doing superpowers and, you know, teaching lessons and stuff. It was really stupid, but it sort of did its job in that it got a lot of people in Japan interested in Shinrikyo. They also had their own manga magazine for a while too, called Comics. So yeah, they had like a pretty big media empire. So they got like really big. There have been rumors that by the time the police finally started cracking down on them, that they had a bunch of like weird, like chemical weapon connections to like people in like the former Yugoslavia and Eastern Europe. And there's even rumors that some of his scientists were on their way to actually constructing an honest to God nuclear bomb. So we should consider ourselves fortunate that they kind of wad early in 95. So basically it goes like this. Basically on March 20th, 1995, a bunch of members went into the Tokyo Subway public transit. So they had a very large number of victims to work. And that's exactly what happened. It was coordinated. They put it on 5 trains, and by the time it was done, they had killed 13 people, seriously injured 54, and then even affected 980 more. Some testaments even claim as many as 6,000 people were injured by the gas. Nobody is really sure what the exact number is because there's a bunch of people who were reluctant to come forward to admit as much. So obviously once this happened, you know, Shoko Asahara and his group, they were raided by the police. There were apparently reports that Asahara had planned an attack in the center of Tokyo to divert police attention away from his group. It didn't work. They basically conducted a bunch of simultaneous raids on the cult group across the country, and that's when they found out just what the full scale of their activities were. At their headquarters at the foot of Mount Fuji, police found explosives, chemical weapons, an honest-to-God Russian Mil-17 military helicopter. There were reports that they found traces of anthrax and Ebola cultures. They even found stockpiles of chemicals that could be used to produce enough sarin to kill roughly 4 million people. They also found a drug manufacturing plant that was manufacturing methamphetamines, LSD, crude truth serums. All of this shit.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Now, Asahara himself managed to stay on the lam for a couple of months. They didn't get him until 16 May. He had managed to wall himself inside of a cult building called the Sixth Satan in a Kamishuki complex on 16th. And they found him on May 16th of that year. That same day, the cult mailed a parcel bomb to the office of the governor of Tokyo, blowing off the fingers of one of his secretary's hands.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Asahara was charged with 23 counts of murder and 16 other offenses. He was ruled guilty and sentenced to death. He was appealed unsuccessfully. And if you're wondering, like, what happened to Asahara, did he actually get executed? Yes, he did. He was executed on July 16th, 2018. By hanging.
I mean, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
maybe a little longer than it should have taken, but.
Well, it's partly because his group sort of did what a lot of infamous groups tend to do, which is they clogged up the process with appeals. But yeah, so Amshin Rikyo ended up, again, like I said at the top of the story, they broke up into two different organizations, and they're still doing shit. In 2013, they were the Aleph group was investigated by public security. And amongst other things, it showed that they were still sort of using Shoko Asahara as their messianic figure and demanding followers, dependents, using videos of his. In 2016, a group of Amshin Rikyo followers in Russia were the subject of a crackdown, and eventually banned the group entirely from the country, declaring it a terrorist organization. In 2017, Aleph was raided again by the Japanese police because of the group's recruiting practices after a woman paid tens of thousands of yen for study sessions. And then in 2019, an Amshin Rikyo sympathizer by the name of Kazuhiro Kusakabe told the authorities he intentionally rammed in through pedestrians crowded into a narrow district as a terrorist attack in retaliation for an execution. The retaliation is probably he was doing it because, remember, Shoko Asahara had been executed the previous year. And that's the story of Amshin Rikyo. If you've ever, the huge effect that this group and its attack has had on Japanese pop culture is pretty self-evident if you've looked enough. If you're familiar with the manga and anime series 20th Century Boys, well, you get where a huge part of that storyline came from. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. Now then. Moving on from there, we're going to start with the show proper. As always with the show proper, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And our first major asshole of the week is Pharma douche Martin Shkreli, who has been ordered to return $64 million in profits and is barred from the pharmaceutical industries for life.
I got a big smile on my face when I read that yesterday.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, this is, let's see, ruling came several weeks after a 7-day bench trial in December. The FTC in 7 states brought the case in 2020 against Shkreli. And yeah, they decided that he must return $64.6 million in profits that he and his former company reaped from raising the price of the life-saving drug Daraprim. Mm. And he's also not allowed to participate in the pharmaceutical industry for the rest of his life.
Good, because he's shown a clear lack of morals, let's be honest.
Yep.
I mean, that man basically became, I mean, he's a straight sociopath. It's very, like, it's just obvious from his public behavior that he is. But yeah, he's gotten his comeuppance finally, thank goodness. But I'm also worried that he's going to find some other place to, some other industry to fuck over. And believe me, the pharmaceutical industry was already pretty fucked before Martin Shkreli got involved. But yeah, moving on from there, the courts have upheld a 2017 firing on two LAPD officers who were fired for ignoring a robbery call to catch a Snorlax in Pokemon Go.
I mean, I know the pop rate on Snorlax it's low, no doubt, it's low, but come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they were fired in 2017, argued that the city violated the law by using their police car's digital in-car video system recording as evidence and by denying them protections of the Public Safety Officers Procedural Bill of Rights Act. California Appellate Court denied their petition for reinstatement on Friday. Let's see, Border Rights found petitioners guilty on multiple counts of misconduct based in part on a digital in-car video system, a recording that captured petitioners willingly abdicating their duty to assist a command and commanding officer's response to a robbery in progress and playing a Pokemon mobile phone game while on duty. And they ignored a call requesting backup to respond to a robbery at nearby Macy's and set off in pursuit of a Snorlax and spent the next 20 minutes driving around to various locations where virtual creatures were shown on their maps. It was like, do the thing and then go back to that later. When you have time to fuck around.
I mean, they do despawn, so... But still, they shouldn't have been, you know...
And finally, for assholes of the week, we've got the Virginia Beach Police. It was recently found that they have used forged documents with fake DNA evidence and interrogations to get confessions in at least 5 different occasions.
Oh, fuckers.
Yep. They were found to have used forged documents with, let's see, police departments forging documents pretending to be from the Virginia Department of Forensic Science. Furman used these forged documents on at least 5 occasions between March 2016 and February 2020. This was an extremely troubling, potentially unconstitutional tactic that abused the name of the Commonwealth to try to coerce confessions. It also abused the good name and reputation of the Commonwealth's hardworking forensic scientists and professionals who work hard to provide accurate, solid evidence in support of our law enforcement agencies. I appreciate that Virginia Beach put an end to this practice and cooperated with our investigation. This is clearly a tactic that should never be should never have been used. But yeah, police already get a bunch of false confessions already through various other tactics. They don't need to be adding more to that. I'm not sure what sort of discipline they will get. Let's see. Tuesday, the Virginia Beach City Council agreed to new reforms, stop the practice from continuing and to alter policy. Those reforms are only in effect for at least 2 years. So just sort of like city council policies.
So yeah, that was some fuckery.
Don't trust the police.
But we do have some heroes of the week to talk about. In particular, Navison has agreed to cancel $1.7 billion in student loan debts owed by roughly 66,000 borrowers as part of a settlement with 39 states' attorneys general.
I wish they held my loan. I would like to stop paying it.
Yeah, these are very specific schools that they're covering. Navient, let's see. At first, they were accused of steering student borrows into expensive forbearances instead of more flexible income-driven repayment plans. Let's see. And the reason for the steering, managing counsel at the, is that enrolling a borrow into an income-driven repayment plan takes considerable effort on the part of a loan servicer. But yeah, they're paying $95 million for states to offer affected borrowers some reimbursement, roughly $260 each to 350,000 borrowers. You can follow the link to their settlement page to see the specific schools. I think they're all whatever for-profit school, for-profit colleges in these various states. Even some bigger ones like ITT, with the college, the Phoenix, that kind of schools. So yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, which I guess I didn't know that Navient was formerly known as Sallie Mae. So that's some interesting fuckery there.
Really? Because I did have Sallie Mae for like 20 fucking years. Yeah, well,
and also
not them anymore.
Recently, they switched a bunch of people over to a different company. I forget what the company is called. Wait, there's common questions. It is Aidvantage. But I don't think that affects your ability to get restitution or whatever out of this. But yeah, there's an FAQ there to help you figure out if you're eligible or not. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's like some sort of... some sort of retribution for the bullshit that they dished out for so many years. Because they were really shitty. They were so bad that that was the first loan that I wanted paid off as quick as I fucking could. And as quick as I fucking could was like seriously 15, 17 years.
Mm.
Yep.
Sally Mae sucked.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Moving on from there, the Justice Department has arrested the leader of the Oath Keepers and 10 others over their insurrection plan at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Yeah, yeah. And they have been charged with, like, actual honest-to-God sedition.
Yep. The Justice Department unsealed seditious conspiracy charges against the leader of the far-right Oath Keepers group and 10 other people on Thursday, alleging they plotted to disrupt the electoral process of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Endangered former Vice President Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stuart Rhodes in Texas was arrested, and as well as others. But yeah, the weird thing is the plot that they had essentially was to get into the Capitol and sort of hold it,
mm-hmm.
and have people literally boating in through the Potomac nearby more weapons and such, so they could keep holding the Capitol.
Mm.
Like they were fucking fighting a war.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that they're all stupid as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
They never got that far.
Mm.
And luckily didn't run into any important people.
Mm-hmm.
In Congress and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gosh.
But, and finally, for the Heroes of the Week, DirecTV is dropping OAN.
Yay! Yes.
Yeah. I'm honestly surprised it took him that long, because that channel has been circling the drain for a while.
Yeah. Let's pull the plug on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is a big deal because, let's see, as they say here, being cut from the DirecTV lineup is likely to have dire consequences for OAN. Whose website features an ad telling viewers that big cable distributors like Comcast and Charter have refused to carry the network for years. Quote, you are stuck paying for liberal mainstream media news. The ad reads, approximately 90% of OAN's revenue in the past has come from a contract with AT&T-owned television platforms, including satellite broadcaster DirecTV.
Hmm.
Yeah, AT&T owns 70% of DirecTV, which just recently spun off last year. That's, and I think OAN itself was founded in some parts in relationship to AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting the comeuppance of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And probably as a result of stuff like the big lawsuit with Dominion Voting Systems.
Mm-hmm.
And others, and people just literally complaining to them to drop them.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to dance on their graves, so let's see them go faster.
Yeah. God, I mean, to be completely honest, that channel has never been like a real, serious, actual channel. It's mostly a vanity project for the station's founder, and that's pretty much it. Okay, so fortunately when them gone, we'll only have to worry about, Fox News and Newsmax.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know.
So moving on from there, we're gonna start the proper show proper, and unfortunately we have to say goodbye to Bob Saget. He suddenly passed away earlier this week. It was a shock to everybody. Did they rule what his death was? Why it was caught? What caused it?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't believe it was any sort of drug or foul play or anything.
Yeah. No. They said that he was tucked into bed. He had died in bed, and it seemed like it was probably heart attack or stroke is what I've been seeing. But of course, you got to wait a little bit to find out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he went out after a really good night. I guess he had done like 2 hours of stand up at his show the night before, that night.
He just started he was part of a nationwide stand up tour that he started in September.
Mm-hmm.
He just was doing like one of his first performances of the year.
Yeah, he was feeling really good about it, really positive. I mean, you know, and if he truly died in his sleep without even waking up or whatever after a really nice fucking night, I guess that's about the best anybody could ask for. But damn, he was kind of young.
Oh, yeah. But, he was only like 64.
Yeah.
65.
He did have some history of drug use way back when, and that leaves a mark on the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it could be anything. Aneurysm, who knows?
Yeah. But at least he went out in as nice a way possible for all the stories and such coming out. It was like, he was very much as nice as, you know, his Danny Tanner persona made him out to be, despite his comedy usually being as blue as it gets.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Watch any of his stand-up specials on YouTube. He, despite the clean image he did on Full House, his actual stand-up was... Whew.
Yeah, he was the exact opposite of that. And when didn't he host America's Funniest Home Videos for
a ton
of time?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was polar opposite on stage.
I know the
roast was pretty funny. I watched that like I guess about 6 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. I watched his roast one night because I wanted to see some more of Norm Macdonald. It's actually a little disappointing because he kind of phoned it in, but his roast was good.
Yeah,
and one of my first experiences with his more blue material was seeing him in Dumb and Dumber. The weird prequel where the one guy goes to the bathroom and shits all over the place, and he discovers it later. It's like, there's shit everywhere, just cursing a bunch. It's like, Jesus Christ, this guy was, you know, the prototypical sitcom father figure of the 90s. Here he is cursing up a storm in the early 2000s. The only real other sad news is that because he was, you know, on this trip and all, his car was at the airport, so had to get a couple of his friends, went on essentially like a road trip to go pick it up and bring it back to his family's home. For them.
Yeah, I saw a couple pictures from that.
Like they were doing a little thing like just telling stories about him and all that.
Well, moving on from there, we unfortunately once again have to go back into that back alley, pull up the garage door, beep beep, here comes the COVID-19 dump truck. And we got a couple stories for this. The first is that the Supreme Court of the United States both halted Biden's vaccine mandate for big businesses, but did not halt the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers.
Yeah, it was 6-3 for the ruling for large businesses that applied to any business with more than 100 employees. To which I think there's a quote here in some other articles from the Retailers Association. Like, oh, they did the right thing. It's like, yeah, to make sure your fucking income keeps coming in, all your money.
Yep.
Because that's what most of these decisions seem to be going these days, is we got to keep the economy going. It's like, the economy was fine when everybody was on lockdown. It needed to have regular checks going to everybody. So they didn't need to put themselves in unnecessary danger if they didn't work particular jobs that needed to be there in person. But yeah, it's that was unfortunate, but it seemed like things are getting to that point where things are going to be relaxed as much as possible. Because like the recent CDC rule was, what, 5 days instead of 10 for quarantine? It's like, what's different now than before? Nothing really. Yeah, the healthcare worker rule was 5-4 in favor of keeping it. I think, yeah, John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh joined the liberals on that one.
Yep.
As the other was straight party lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's at least good.
Mm. That is, because I've heard a lot of people recently in my circles who have been to the doctor for whatever they needed to go for and came home with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It's not always the healthcare workers, but goddamn, that's a good vector of stopping it is, well, minus Omicron, is mm-hmm. having all the healthcare workers vaccinated.
Yeah, and probably mm-hmm. automating what you can in that process as far as, you know, getting signed in and all that for appointments you got.
Yes, people need to be scanning the QR code and doing all of their check-in on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure those systems actually work.
Yeah. Yes.
I've heard people like, oh, I filled out all my info before. Then they got there and like, oh, I had to fill it out again. Like, what the fuck was the point of the shit before?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's the point of having any of this online shit if you're not going to deal with any of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the half the reason to do it is to simplify everything.
Yep. Valid complaint.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's at least half cup full. Half cup empty, whatever you want to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this week, we learned that the number of U.S. cops that have died in 2021 is the highest since 1930, but there's a catch on the reason why.
Yeah. So this has been the case for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
2020, I think, was a high. Where was
That's
I?
Right.
Let's see, I think 301 total.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing they didn't tell you is that 182 of those were COVID-19, the leading cause of death.
Mm.
Ooh, that's almost, that's what, 2/3?
60%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this past year was 458 local, state, tribal, and federal officers died in the line of duty. And that is, it's about a 55% increase of the previous year's tally. The highest since 1930, The catch there is that the number from COVID, I'm trying to see what it was here. I think it was 301 was the COVID-related fatalities for this year. It was 295 total last year and 182. So it was about 65% there. But yeah, this one was about 65% this year, which is not... great.
No.
They're in charge of public safety and they're ignoring the number one cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. They're drinking that Kool-Aid.
That's not a smart workforce there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw this joke Twitter from the other day. I love when cops put out stats like over 300 officers died in line of duty this year. We salute their sacrifice. And then the specific causes of death are like, 250 COVID, 23 from stepping on a rake and tripping down the stairs, and 14 from not chewing their food all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which you usually will, because I think one is involved, like, oh, the rest were all accident, car accidents of sorts, and even some of them weren't even on the line of duty. It was at home or something like that. So it's like, you guys don't put two and two together. You just use the number purely for propaganda.
Yep.
I was like, you don't know how to lower those numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Get everybody vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. That's the COVID-19 dump truck for this week. We're going to go ahead, wheel it back in, close the garage door, and join us again next week. We will almost certainly have more stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
And for the record, at this point, I'm just going to say it. Be prepared to get Omicron.
Yeah, and be prepared to not really know if you've had it.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating as fuck, right, Chris?
Yeah.
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 Like, the difference with Omicron and most of the major previous versions of this disease is you can no longer rely on anosmia as being, like, a key, you know.
True. Symptom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can totally keep your sense of smell with Omicron, and you can take a whole bunch of rapid tests, and like there's nurses who take them every single day, and they think that they have it, and day 7, they're still not testing positive, and then eventually they'll test positive. The rapid tests are really hard since this one appears more as kind of a head cold versus a chest congestion type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not getting up all of the coughing or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to detect. It's frustrating as hell.
Yeah. The good news, though, is that if you do get Omicron, live through it, you will be basically have a great deal of immunity to your to a lot
Delta,
probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, hopefully, what I've been reading is that this Omicron spread might end up being basically the end of the pandemic itself. It'll end up going endemic after that.
It may. Until we have the next super fucking variant that could knock us backwards.
I mean, yeah. We'll see. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on from there. We now have the rest of the show for us, and starting for those
other... Don't forget this one, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. This one. I forgot. Omicron. On top of, you know, just preparing that you're probably going to get it at some point, it's also decimating the ranks of teachers for in-school teaching.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't blame them.
Yeah, they're quitting and leaving in droves. They've retired. They've done whatever. They're finding jobs elsewhere. Also impacting the school bus drivers.
Yeah. They're just getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree that you can see who is just dead set on keeping this in-person teaching stuff going in a way. It's like, don't you see the evidence saying, like, this is stupid?
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep people in the teacher spot.
Mm.
It seems like in California, Newsom just announced an executive order that expedites the hiring process for bringing in new teachers, you know, allowing them to have substitute teachers stay for longer, maybe retired teachers to return for a bit, that kind of stuff. But that order only extends to the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas is now open to having teens with no college experience take charge of students. State Board of Education on Wednesday announced
Ohio, who's like, hey, parents, come and teach in the classroom. We need you. You can be a substitute as long as you're a parent.
I don't know, but it's like, you're just hiring babysitters.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Do all this stuff from home while you're doing. I think New Mexico is basically like, we're calling in the National Guard. But it's like, what?
To go and relieve the positions at the school, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's because they want their workers at fucking work. It's all about the parents. It's not about the kids. They don't give a goddamn about these kids. Obviously. Yes.
It's like, okay, you're going to do this and then just have, you know, random amounts of kids just absent for days at a time. But the teachers, no, we got to keep the schools running.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all evidence showing that, you know, you can't keep this up.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yep. Although they might make it through this Omicron push and then recoup. And if that's the way that it goes, they're going to be emboldened.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I know. It sucks.
Mm. Well. All right. So, yeah. Closing up. Putting it back in the garage. See us again next week. We'll certainly have more COVID stories to talk to you about. But moving on from there. Now to the rest of the stories. So recently it was discovered that there was a fuel tank system in Hawaii that was leaking into the drinking water that was owned by the U.S. Navy. And this week they announced that they will be draining the fuel tank system itself.
Yep. Yeah, they're making preparations to defuel the facility. I think it's 25 tanks. 20 tanks, giant underground tanks that are built into the side of a mountain during World War II. Each tank is roughly the height of a 25-story building, just in case you need to understand the scale of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, they can hold up to 250 million gallons of fuel, though two of the tanks are now empty at this point. So still holding quite a bit of fuel.
Yep.
So I imagine this will take quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so glad they're finally doing it. They should have done it earlier.
Yeah. I once asked someone what it was like living to being a Native Hawaiian. They said, imagine being a Native American on a reservation, but the reservation you lived on was basically a place where someone had built Disneyland on top of it.
That sounds pretty fucking accurate.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's basically Hawaii. Moving on. The Republican National Committee is threatening to bar candidates from participating in future presidential debates.
Yep.
Gee, I wonder why.
These motherfuckers.
Yeah, just throwing a fit on all of this. Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing here. So yeah, they say it's considering changing its bylaws to prohibit GOP presidential candidates from participating in debates put on by the commission on presidential debates. Yeah. So they initiate the rules change at its winter meeting, which is scheduled for February in Salt Lake City. Let's see. And the nonprofit commission, which is run by the members of both parties and considered itself nonpartisan, was a target of Trump's ire during the 2020 election. He withdrew from a debate the commission hosted in October 2020 after organizers made it virtual following his COVID diagnosis. RNC said it wants the commission to commit to hold a debate before the start of early voting and agree not to hold any matchups after the state deadlines to mail absentee ballots to military personnel and overseas voters.
Mm-hmm.
The RNC is also seeking term limits for the commission's board members and a ban on partisan political activity by officials and staffers of the commission.
Mm.
Party also requests that the commission make its moderator selection process transparent, as well as adopt a code of conduct for debate moderators, which seems like make them not be reasonable people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way that they would react to Trump.
Yeah.
They just go rambling on and whining all the time.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And now for some even better news. There was an underwater volcano that erupted near the island of Tonga, which has sent tsunami warnings all over the Pacific.
Oh, how lovely.
Yep.
Yeah, and it seems like this is a very powerful eruption that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the most powerful that's ever happened.
Mm.
Luckily, it was a bit deadened by being an undersea volcano.
Yep.
So that is good, because it seemed like the tsunamis that did hit were maybe about a meter tall or so, which is not to diminish their potential for damage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as bad as like the one that happened due to the earthquakes around Japan
about
a decade ago. It seems like, but there is a whole kind of wild thing. I will give you guys this link here. Make sure you turn the volume down of people that lived on Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of recording the ash that was spewing out of this thing.
Yeah.
As the sonic boom of the explosion hit them.
Oh. Oh, geez. Yeah, I gotta watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, make sure you have the volume down a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it is very loud. I'll put this link in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because it is a fascinating thing. People could hear this all the way out to Alaska and Canada. So it wasn't as loud as this, but
yeah. Dang.
Sounds just like a huge explosion. Which it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like dynamite went off.
Yeah, it kind of was. you can even watch the like satellite footage of the area in the tweet that's in the article, showing just how huge this was.
The explosion happens around the 18-second mark, for those who were curious.
Yeah, and this whole thing just kind of a wild explosion. Mm. You can see like the ripple of the explosion on the atmosphere and some of that footage there.
Mm-hmm.
any other estimating that, like, the scale they go by for rating the sort of force of these things, that Krakatoa was like a 6. This furrow might be a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
On that scale.
Yeah. Keep in mind, Krakatoa was an above sea volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this...
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is just a wild whole thing. It knocked out internet and maybe electricity as well in mm-hmm. the island of Tonga. Like, this happened a good bit north of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's maybe not, hopefully, as much damage to them. Seems like there are potentially no injuries just yet,
mm-hmm.
as far as we know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got darkness about 2 hours earlier than usual because of all the ash.
Mm.
But yeah, there's like this island north of the Tonga main islands that is called like Hunga Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
That you can see it was sort of building up with this ash between these more two solid pieces of land that kind of mm-hmm. built this island itself, and then this thing explodes and it's kind of not there anymore.
Yep.
God damn.
Mm. Well, yeah. Oh boy. Now for some slightly lighter news.
Yeah.
The Food and Drug Administration has officially dropped all of its regulation of French dressing for the first time in 72 years. Now you're thinking, why specifically one kind of dressing? You know, why not Russian dressing or ranch dressing or, you know, vinaigrette or whatever? It's because back when they first started these regulations, there was literally only 3 kinds of dressings. Mayonnaise, the other was just regular salad dressing, and the third was French dressing.
Okay. Wow, not even Italian. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. French dressing is the only pourable dressing required to adhere to standards that require it to contain oil, acidifying ingredients and seasoning. Other foods, including bread, jam, and juices, have their own standards of identity.
Mm-hmm.
But French dressing got these in 1950 and have been stayed the same. But even the color is not necessarily something that is required of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you kind of expect a red color or a red-orange.
Yeah.
Or to have like tomato or tomato derived elements to it. None of that is required. Yeah, the Association for Dressing and Sauces, industry group founded in 1926. Petition for the standard be revoked in 1998, citing the explosion of varieties of salad dressings available,
mm-hmm.
which then included ranch, cheese, peppercorn, Italian. French dressing is no longer a baseline for other dressings to become marginalized. But in December, this past December, December 2020, the FDA proposed revoking the standard for French dressing in the name of flexibility and innovation. French dressing's standard of identity was not honest or fair, either according to the FDA's final rule. There are a wide variety of French-style dressings on the market, and these will continue to be available based on consumer demand. But yeah, now they finally removed that, which will go into effect on February 14th, won't require makers to change their manufacturing processes. So, there you go.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, it's weird when shit like that, so outdated like that, can just persist for so long. You know?
I know. It's like, you gotta wonder the percentage of Americans that even had, like, refrigerators at that point.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now for some interesting science news. A group of scientists in Israel taught goldfish how to drive a motorized fish tank.
How to what?
Yes, how to drive a motorized fish tank.
Oh my god. I heard you, but man, I did not process that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see in the little video they have here that is essentially a big square fish tank with a camera on top that is sort of watching where the fish is swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's moving in that direction, at least the cardinal directions. And kind of see through the various ways they tested this that it was able to figure out how to go around in specific ways,
mm-hmm.
especially when they were given rewards as such for getting to certain places and that kind of stuff. So pretty neat way mm-hmm. to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, fairy tale is they're like, oh, they can only remember, like, for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Their memory gets, like, wiped, essentially, which is not really the case.
No, they're actually quite intelligent.
Oh, no, are we going to have to rename the current generation of TikTok viewers who are now the goldfish generation?
Probably.
Name them after the treats.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, snack to smell snack.
And now for the entertainment portion of the show. We got four stories for you here. First and foremost is we got a trailer for Peacock's Bel-Air series that starts February 13th. This is basically their sort of semi-gritty reimagining of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it actually kind of works.
Yeah.
I won't lie.
Yeah.
It's more it of sounds a drama. Really
interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with some new twists to it. You see a bit more of Will in Philly kind of thing, because they really don't show much of that in the original show. They have, like, mm-hmm. a little playful intro theme that has a lot more to it than what the what you see in the intro as far as the whole song, if you go listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really go through that very many times in the show, maybe once or twice. You hear the whole thing. But yeah, kind of involves them playing basketball. There's a gang nearby. He goes, like, some sort of fight goes to break out, and he pulls a gun out of his backpack to shoot in the air to stop it. And as the cops are arriving, gets in some very serious trouble, gets sent out to his Uncle Phil in Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
And all that seems like they're doing all the same names.
Mm-hmm.
His cousins Ashley, Carlton, and Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
The butler, Jeffrey. I forget, there's some people have accents, like Jamaican accents. I think Jeffrey might have a Jamaican accent to him. I forget which characters they're showing in here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely some stuff in there where, you know, I see some dancing with Uncle Phil. He's not like, you know, big fat dude in the Fresh Prince series. He's kind of dude is well connected and all that. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. It starts on February 13th on Peacock.
Mm. Yep. So be looking out for that. We also got a trailer for the Bob's Burgers movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
It's very silly, as you would expect.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be only in theaters May 27th, which is a weird thing to do for a movie based on a show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they start off this trailer with, like, a, you know, burger, fast food commercial looking thing.
Yep.
And then morph into Linda in a sexy burger outfit.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Taking Gene's burger outfit and putting a bikini on it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I gotta watch this.
Yeah, so there's a lot of weird stuff going on, which, you know, is totally not normal for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Looks like more fun, like a longer adventure for them.
Mm-hmm.
Than what you usually see.
Hmm. Evidently. And then next up, we got some news from Disney Plus. They are getting a Santa Claus series starring, you guessed it, Tim Allen.
Hi. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they need this.
It's I like you got you got the... like go for Tim Allen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They really shouldn't. He's an
They ass. Shouldn't.
He's mm-hmm. a terrible yes. person.
Yes. All these things.
Also there's they got three movies on Disney Plus, but
mm-hmm.
and all these services quest to have a never-ending supply of Christmas, new Christmas content.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's going to follow, I guess, the three movies. Yeah, Scott Calvin is on the brink of his 65th birthday and realizing he can't be Santa forever.
Yep.
Starting to lose a step in his Santa duties, and more importantly, he's got a family who could benefit from a life in the normal world. Especially two kids who have grown up at the pole. With lots of elves, children, family to please. Scott sets out to find a suitable replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Santa while preparing his family for a new adventure in a life south of the pole.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have to be killed like he did to the other Santa?
Yeah.
Is that what happens in the last episode? Is there's a mercy killing?
Yeah, is this like the rule of two from the Sith? Like, is it like the Highlander? There can only be one?
I mean, that's the Santa Clause. It's the name of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Is he gonna have to go to like a duel to the death with his son or something?
Well, he doesn't want it to be his kids. He wants it to be somebody else.
Yeah. Oh. And finally, for some real bullshittery, Netflix has announced that they are raising their prices for most of its subscription plans in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, I'm fucking having trouble with this one.
Yeah, this is a bit weird. They're raising prices from like $1 to $3, I think, for most of the tiers. Their premium plan, which is all their 4K stuff, and 4 streams, is going up to, I think, $20 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The basic plan, which is the SD service, which was $9, is going to $10.
Mm.
And if you had the one in the middle, which gets you HD streams, two of them simultaneously if you want,
mm-hmm.
Is going from $14 to $15.49.
Mm.
Which is weird.
Yep.
Yeah, Canada seems like similar rises in prices. Their basic plan is going to stay the same at $9.99 Canadian a month.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, their premium plan is going up to $20.99 mm-hmm. per month. And yeah, the standard one's $16.49 per month.
Mm.
And they definitely, these prices do not look great next to like Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Where that is $7 a month.
And it doesn't look really nice next to gray market accounts, which do exist.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah,
it's... But Disney Plus is going to keep going up as they get more people hooked on it.
Because
mm-hmm. that's the whole model. Because they want to get people in on it cheap.
Yeah,
like, oh, mm-hmm. it's a dollar more now. It's like, oh, okay. And then they're putting all these Star Wars and Marvel stuff and Christmas stuff and all that. They'll make it up to $10 and over at some point.
Yeah,
and it's a nice service. I will give it that. Their shit is they've got a lot of stuff. I prefer Paramount over them.
Yeah,
yeah,
but because Paramount just has wow. Just wow. You don't realize how much they have until you go in and take a look at it. But it's everybody is having big issues and we've all been kind of grousing about it for a while. It's like all this shit is adding up to cable bills. We got rid of cable bills for a reason.
Yeah.
And here we go again.
Yeah. And then there's Peacock, which nobody has.
Yeah, right? Nobody even gray markets that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, okay, cool. They're supposed to have like a free tier, but I've never been able to figure out what's up with that. It's like, oh, you can watch the one episode, the first episode. It's like, okay.
What the fuck? No.
Like, I remember when Hulu was free and you got ads with it.
Yeah.
And now it's not free, but you still get ads for like the cheapest tier, but it's like $6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fairly reasonable for the price for what you're getting.
Yep.
But yeah, also, people, you don't have to subscribe for the rest of your life.
This is true.
Pay for 1 month, watch what you want, be like, okay, that's good. That was $15 worth or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, binge and go on to the next one.
Yeah.
So true.
Alternate every month if you want.
Yep.
You don't have to not watch for months and still pay.
They okay, who's not watching? Like, who's seriously not watching for months? I don't think I watch a lot of TV, but I hit every one of my subscriptions at least once a week.
I've had times where I maybe didn't tune into Netflix for a month or two, but I also didn't complain about the prices either. Like, oh, why are the prices so high?
It's like, caveat, yeah. People who are not working stupid. From home. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I'm the one that's actually paying them, so of course it's my dumb fault if I don't watch it when I'm paying for it. Just like if you rented DVDs or whatever, and like, oh, I've had this one for 6 months. I've technically paid more than the price of the DVD to have it sitting here and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I could literally buy them off of the shelf at Best Buy for cheaper than subscribing to Netflix for it.
Yeah, could you go back to 2008 me and tell me that? Because I needed to hear it.
That's why I do my every Black Friday, I buy like a handful of movies.
Mm-hmm.
When they're like $10. It's like, oh, this isn't even on any services right now.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that we've been noticing is we have an extensive DVD collection. Like, I think Scott's definitely over 1,600. I just turned around and looked at the cabinets behind me. I get really grumpy about it because it takes up a whole fucking 11-foot wall or something. But our kid is definitely digging into our old stuff. And pulling out the anime that doesn't have the right subs or dubs that he wants. You know, he's looking at the shit on streaming. He's like, okay, Neon Genesis is not the version that I want to be watching right now. Oh, hey, we have the box set. So you should like that's happening. I think he picked up a Digimon today while we were out, a DVD. Because, you know, I think that's as a tangent, because this has nothing to do with what we were talking about. Anime is one of the few things keeping DVDs alive. Because we're picky about how we want to watch it.
Yeah, and anime is a weird thing, because oftentimes the English dubs or the English subs are for the Japanese dub and not the English dub.
Yeah.
So even on streaming services, that's the case oftentimes. And it's like, that's an accessibility thing. You should have a sub for each of the dubs you have.
Yeah.
If you're going to go far to have English dubs and Chinese dubs and all this, there should be separate subs for each of those. Because there are oftentimes differences, even if it's minor. If you're trying to follow along with the things that are being said, it should match. It should just be like, this is like 90% there. It's like, that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the annoyance that I have with Disney Plus not having subtitles. They have closed captions. So you get the giant black bars.
Yeah.
With that stuff.
And
it's like,
suck.
It's like, you're the biggest entertainment corporation in the world. Why can't you get fucking subtitles?
They could get their shit together, couldn't they?
Yeah, even Peacock has subtitles, I assume. Nobody has that shit. You've literally paid less for Star Wars and Marvel than fucking video game companies are paying for publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, I think we're all agreed that Paramount and Disney Plus are superior to Netflix at this point.
To a degree, sometimes. Mm. It's always like a sometimes thing.
Yeah.
Depends on what you want to watch.
Yeah.
But you have to give props to Netflix original programming, because that shit is stellar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is why I keep my subscription, because I just cannot. I can't live without that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see kids karate fighting and holding a town hostage.
Yeah.
Of our karate tournament.
So I think we have got a show. Yep, we got a show. So with that, I would like to invite all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Get in touch with us at our show notes. They're down there on the show notes at the very bottom. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of Unscripted Shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. We will be. It's, you know, as soon as we find out about a new format, we will automatically sign up for it. So, with that said, I would like to thank Chris Logie and Teresa Sammons for joining me this week. Hopefully we'll have a full house again next week. Yeah, we'll have some more entertaining bullshit to talk about then as well. So to all of our listeners, I'll say good night, sleep tight. And if you have not yet, been vaccinated yet, I would encourage you to, especially considering that at this point you're probably going to get Omicron. So you want to be, you know, build up your defenses while you can. That's the world we live in. Good night, everybody.